A friend of mine once worked at a company where smiling was banned. I'm not kidding. This is true. It happened. She worked in the executive offices, and her boss, the CEO, pulled the entire office together one day and announced, "Smiling will no longer be announced in our workplace. If you are smiling, you clearly aren't focused on your work, and you aren't being as productive as you could be." It's hard to believe, but it's true. And here's the kicker. Not only did this woman ban smiling, she would actually walk around the executive offices and check and reprimand people if she caught them smiling. Now, this may be an extreme example, but we all know people in our lives who are maybe a little bit too controlling, right? One example among many is the length that some parents go to in an effort to manage, we could maybe even say control, the lives of their children. We've had the term helicopter parents for a while now, right? Because some parents hover over their children all the time like helicopters. I thought that that was, you know, enough of a thing, but apparently there's a new term right out there called lawnmower parents. Have you heard this? Because right, lawnmower parents are the ones who are out in front of the kids mowing down any obstacles in the way so they don't have to experience challenge. So it's totally understandable to want to protect your children. And wow, does it also speak to our deep desire for control in our lives. Now, to be fair, I'm not preaching from a soapbox. I struggle with wanting and needing control just as much as anyone else. I remember a group project we were assigned back in seminary, which I was not looking forward to. With group projects, sometimes you lucked out and had great people to work with, and sometimes people were difficult to work with or maybe didn't do their fair share. Unfortunately, it turned out in this case that I ended up being the one who was difficult to work with. Our group was small, just the two of us, and we had been assigned a role play. And I had some strong opinions about the best way to move forward, and let's be generous, and we'll categorize my approach to working with my partner as overly confident. My partner gently tried suggesting alternatives, but I could not hear her. Now, fortunately, this kind and gracious person was patient with me and kept bringing it up, taking different angles. Finally, the morning of her presentation, I was able to hear her, and so we did some mad scrambling and changed things according to her suggestions. And let me tell you, it was way, way better after I listened to her. In that group process, I was the annoying, controlling one. There's nothing quite so humbling as realizing that you were that person that you complain about. It's probably safe to say that being controlling is not something we generally think of as good or helpful. But here's the thing. There's a reason people seek control so desperately sometimes. There's a reason people need a sense of control so badly. Having some sense of control can literally be a matter of life or death. Imagine with me for a moment what it must be like to move into a nursing home. You no longer can hop in your car and go drive to the grocery store. You can't pick and choose when you're going to eat. You might not even be able to choose what you're going to eat. On top of all that, you're likely losing or have lost some control of some of your bodily functions, maybe even over your memory. Control has definitely gone out the window on so many levels. Now picture in this setting, in a nursing home, a scientific study that was done, where residents were set up with a visitor who came to visit once a week and spend quality time with them. Half the participants were allowed to pick the time of day and the day of the week of the visit, while the rest were just told when the visitor was going to show up. The study had to be discontinued due to ethical concerns, because the participants who had a choice about when their visitor was coming, the participants who were given just that little bit of control, their mortality rate, the rate at which they died, was 60% less than the participants who were given the choice. The researchers couldn't ethically continue the study. For the rest of the funding of the experiment, they switched to giving everyone about a choice about the time of their visit. Now, for those of us with greater amounts of control in our lives than the folks stuck in nursing homes, receiving that little bit of control probably wouldn't be life or death. But having a sense of control is really important to us. While the reality is that there is much over which we have no control, we tend not to think about that if we don't have to until life sometimes smacks us in the face with it. Now, sometimes that gentle, it's a small nudge, but sometimes it's bigger. We tend not to think of how little control we have until our home maybe is broken into and our valuables are stolen. We tend not to think of how little control we have until maybe someone rear-ends us while we're stopped at an intersection. We tend not to think of how little control we have until a flood comes through and ruins our home. The need for a sense of control is why many parenting gurus are suggesting these days that we offer our kids choices when we can. There's so many things in life that kids don't have choices about, such as the fact that they're going to eat breakfast. But you can ask them, do you want cereal or French toast? They are definitely going to have vegetables with dinner at night, at least in our house. But we ask them, would you rather have I make corn or green beans? Especially since children really do not have control in so many situations, giving them the opportunity to feel that sense of control can be vital to their well-being. This human need for a sense of control can become painfully visible in those of us who feel like we have too little control in our lives. Usually, if there's too much lack of control, we find ways to assert it. For example, kids with overly controlling parents may act out in attempts to control situations with bad behavior. Kids and adults alike often try and gain a sense of control by controlling what they eat to an extreme, sometimes even developing eating disorders. Others of us might withdraw emotionally and withhold affection. This lets us be in charge if we're doing this, and lets us be in charge of our levels of love and connection. Research shows that too much lack of control in our lives can lead us to feel overwhelmed, withdrawn, depressed, and exhausted. And usually, when we as human beings get to that place, we do something, often subconsciously, to try and regain some sense of control. Ultimately, this is what is important. Regardless of how much control we actually have, we need a sense of control. Children in so many ways are not in control, but they need to have some sense of control to be healthy. Those elders in the nursing home, they literally stayed alive longer when they were given even some incredibly minimal sense of control. Finding this sense of control in the face of so many circumstances and factors which are, in fact, beyond our control is in large part why the Serenity Prayer is so powerful and so healing to so many. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The Serenity Prayer suggests we let go of things we do not have control over to give us strength so that we can focus on the things we do. It helps us find that sense of control in a world that is so often out of control in so many ways. It helps us find that sense of control in the face of limitations placed on us by our communities, our work, and oftentimes our bodies and our minds. The key here is that the prayer doesn't actually increase the amount of control we have, but it helps us to increase our perception of how much control we have. It expands our sense, our feeling of control. What in your life do you need to accept as it is? What do you need to let go of so that you can shift your perception and claim a deeper sense of control? Christopher Reeve is a perfect example of someone who was forced by circumstances to face this question in a deep and powerful way. As many of you likely know, Reeve was the actor who played Superman in the original Superman movies, and he also happened to be a Unitarian Universalist. Reeve was thrown off his horse many years ago, becoming paralyzed from the neck down as a result of the accident. Talk about lack of control. Can you imagine going from being fully functional in this world to, just like that, needing to have almost every single aspect of your physical existence taken care of by someone else? Reeve could have been depressed. He could have shrunk from life in the world. He could have retreated from the public eye. But he didn't. He let go of the things he could not control, including almost his entire body, and focused on the things he could. He continued to lead an active life. Before his eventual passing, he became a leading advocate for people with spinal cord injuries as well as folks with all kinds of disabilities. He spoke at conferences and conventions across the country. He appeared at the Academy Awards. He spoke at the Democratic National Convention, and he even had a small role in a film. In the face of immense loss of control in his life, he let go of the things he could not change and found the courage to change the things that he could. The Serenity Prayer, if practiced and integrated into our understanding of the world, it works. It works because our perception of control is something that falls into that second category of things we can change. It also works because it can help us break out of the paralysis that sometimes comes when we are clinging to control, trying to control things which we cannot. Let me share an example of this from my own life. I love my dad. He's wonderful and amazing in so, so many ways. And there was a period of time where almost every trip I took home, he would tell the story of how when I was a little kid, I used to wake up early in the morning while he was still in the shower, run down the hallway, pick up a towel, and be standing there holding it for him, waiting to hand it to him. He would always end the story with some version of, "And where is that little kid now? I miss him so." And at a certain point, after hearing that story over and over, I got a little tired of it. And then I got a little more tired, and I got to the point where I sometimes wanted to shout at him, "I'm right here, I'm a grown-up, I'm not that little kid anymore." So sometimes I just gritted my teeth and kept my mouth shut. Other times my frustration spilled out, and I would say things like, "Really, you're telling that story again?" Or, "Wow, wouldn't it be wonderful if you had a loving son standing right in front of you right now?" And yet somehow he never got the message. When I shared my frustration with my therapist, she asked a question that resonates with me to this day. She asked, "Seth, can you control your dad's behavior?" This question was met with uncomfortable silence on my part. Finally, grudgingly, painfully, I admitted it. "No. Whose behavior can you control?" "Ugh, mine." "Can you make him treat you the way you want to be treated?" "No." It was hard to admit, but the questions she asked challenged me deeply. She challenged me to shift my focus, to shift my understanding, to reframe my sense of control. So the next time I was home, without fail, my dad started to tell that story of the little kid holding up the towel. This time, though, I interrupted him gently and said, "Dad, I know you love telling that story, but it frustrates me when you tell it, and I would really appreciate it if you'd stop." Now, you could just take this as a case of me learning how to communicate more effectively and appropriately, and that was indeed the shift in my behavior, to respond more calmly and communicate more effectively. But the change inside me that allowed me to make that shift in behavior, that helped me make the shift, was the shift in my own understanding. I wasn't demanding my dad stop, I wasn't trying to passively, aggressively control him. I just, from a grounded place, made a simple request. And I was able to do that because internally I had made peace with the fact that I couldn't control his response. My level of control in the situation hadn't changed at all. My dad's response might or might not change. What changed was I had shifted from trying and wanting and needing to control my dad and had accepted that the only thing I could control was myself. Now, you may be wondering if my dad heard me and whether he still told the story or not. The thing is, the outcome really doesn't matter because the whole point was that I couldn't control his behavior or whether he would change it. And if you're still curious about what he did, you might need to use this opportunity to practice finding the serenity to accept the things you cannot change. Because I'm not telling. In the big picture, there are many, many areas in our lives where the power of claiming control by letting go can come into play. Let's reflect briefly on two of them, forgiveness and self-worth. First, in regards to forgiveness, the reality is people we care about do things that hurt us sometimes, and many of us struggle with the process of forgiveness or hold on to grudges for months, years, or even decades. At a certain point, the pain that is associated with that grudge, with that lack of forgiveness, is just something we as individuals are holding on to. The person who hurt us may be years out of our lives, and yet the pain and hurt is still there inside us. In this instance, we have given over control of the wounded part of ourselves to the pain and the hurt. The only way to heal, the only way to reclaim control, is to accept what happened, that it's in the past, and to let go of that pain and hurt. Second is our sense of self-worth. One of the biggest ways many of us give up our sense of control is by allowing our self-worth to be defined by the amount of approval we receive from the outside world. Needing to be told that we're pretty or handsome to feel good about how we look. Needing to be told we're smart so that we don't feel stupid. Needing desperately to be loved because we don't love ourselves. When we do this, we have little to no control over our sense of self-worth, since it is dependent on continually receiving positive feedback from others. The path to spiritual health lies in letting go of trying to control the feedback we receive from others, letting go of that need for approval, and working on finding our sense of self-worth from within. At the end of the day, all of these examples boil down to the basic question addressed in the Serenity Prayer. What external thing or person or circumstance is it that I'm trying to control? How can I shift my perception to accept that I cannot control it? And how do I focus on the things I can? May you find the serenity to accept the things you cannot change, courage to change the things you can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen.